Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Art of Thriving podcast. We are so glad you're here. This is where we talk about what it means to thrive in all areas of life. But mostly we just laugh a lot and are ridiculous and awkward. But we have a good time. My name is Matt, and I am joined by the venerable Jody McComas.
I guess that's
me. She loves
me.
That word.
You guys, I just had to ask, what does that word even mean? I don't know, but I don't like it, and it sounds like a disease. So I don't think
have a disease.
We need a
it
better
means,
word.
I'm pretty sure it means you are wise because you're old.
That's an insult. Also,
no.
I've been insulted. I'm wise, although I didn't know what that word meant. And I'm old. What the heck?
It's all a right, positive McComas. Thing. It's a positive thing. Thanks for joining us. Our community is growing. We've got 2 new email subscribers.
All right.
Woo!
Look at that.
Feeling good about it. We are putting together some new materials online for your viewing pleasure. So feel free to subscribe to our email list at theartofthriving.net. Artofthriving.net. Right?
Great.
Is that
sure.
the website?
We are on top of it, people.
Oh, man.
On top of it. Sharp.
Yep, we're sharp people around here. Special props to our friend Joey in Atlanta, Georgia, who sent me a message and was demanding a new podcast.
It's really because he's traveling and he just wants someone to
our
laugh
fans.
At.
Our fans. They're demanding. It's the price of fame, people. Price mm-hmm. of fame.
Sure.
Yep. Love our fans. All 7 of them, I think.
I love those people.
No, but seriously, go subscribe to artofthriving.net, our email list there. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for being a part of our community. All right, as always, a little family update. What's going on with McComases? McComai, as we like to call
McComai.
Ourselves. Yeah, what's going on?
The
sun is shining.
Lots of things are going on. But yes, the sun is shining,
It's been a dreary, dreary couple months, or at least 6 weeks. So the sun is shining.
It's loving
glaring
it.
Glaring in our front window right now.
Which means as soon as our children get home, we're going to do yard work. Because you have to seize the day. When
the window of opportunity.
That's right. They're going to love their homework when they get home. Their family chores.
The family chores.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's just a mud hole out there too. It's great.
It is.
Put on your rain boots. Get to work, kids.
Yep.
No more soccer Saturdays. We're done.
Thank goodness.
I think the last time we recorded, we thought we were done, but we actually had another game that we didn't know about.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise,
we
surprise.
Had one more rainy game to go to.
Yep, but we finished strong. Isaac did awesome. Oh gosh, so much improvement over the year.
Yes.
He scored 2 goals in each of the last 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he figured out that he's fast.
Yeah, it was awesome.
He's a stud. So it was really fun.
It was
fun.
Really fun.
And Jenna had a little celebration, what do they call it, awards thing?
Yeah, they gave him certificates.
Yeah, she was so proud. It was awesome.
It was great.
They have a great team.
Yep.
Really, really fun. But happy to be done with Soccer Saturday, right?
Yes.
And on to whatever's next. Actually, we don't have anything
Which
for
is
a little
nothing
while.
For a while. We take a break until spring sports.
Our kids really want to learn how to ski, which
what?
I'd be about.
No.
But it's like a bajillion dollars to take them skiing.
Yeah, and it's not Montana skiing here.
Yeah.
It's just not as enjoyable. I'll hold down the fort with my warm beverage in the in the lodge, and you guys can go ski. Because I'm, obviously, as already stated, I'm too old for that crap. And wise enough to know it. So.
Yep. So Isaac did do well in soccer, but we did get a call from the principal's office yesterday. Which is... The first one.
This year.
This year. And it was a teachable moment.
It was.
Turns out you can't throw pine cones at parked cars and get away with it.
At least not yesterday.
So, but here's the thing, and maybe some of you out there can relate. His consequence from the school is to stay inside today, right now. He's already done it.
For lunch recess.
Which is, I get, but it just seems like, well, it's hard for him. It makes the rest of the day really hard for him because he's a bundle of energy.
Yep. That's punishment for the teachers, honestly. I feel like they need to think of a better system.
Yeah, if anybody has any better ways of dealing with school issues than keeping your kid out of recess, that would be great.
I don't know, like make them rake leaves on the playground or sweep the school or run laps in the halls or something. But
yeah. Yeah, last year, painful. It wasn't throwing stuff. Last year, it was sitting in the, what was it? Sitting in the bathroom sink.
He wiped soap all over the bathroom sink. He was washing them, and then he sat in the sink, which was attached to the wall. And he's a giant child. Like, that is, I can't even believe that it didn't come off the wall. So that was a win for him. But, oh, my goodness.
Just a little update on our family. We're doing well, though.
Yep.
Football season. We haven't watched any football this year.
Nope.
We How are your Oregon State Beavers doing?
I don't know, but we probably don't want to talk about it.
I think they've won one Pac-12 game in the last 2 years.
Better yet, let's talk about how the Ducks are doing.
I think University of Oregon and Oregon State are tied for last place right now.
In case you didn't notice, North. I'm not a Duck fan. So
we're not Duck fans around here. I'm married into that.
That's right.
Oh, well.
So I don't feel all that bad.
So Thanksgiving is coming up. We're a week away.
It is. We normally host every year.
We're headed back to some family's house.
Yep.
Right?
We are.
And we're doing this crazy thing. Actually, maybe we shouldn't talk about this. We're kind of breaking the law.
We're not breaking any laws. We're doing Airbnb our house. We're going to bless another family to come stay in our home during Thanksgiving.
But in case the city of Portland is listening that requires a permit to do this, we're just trying it. And if it goes well, then we'll go get the permit. Okay? I listened to something the other day that said, so the city of Portland requires a permit for Airbnb in Portland. And there's 2,700 properties that are not permitted. So I'm guessing that they're not going to come on. I think they have more important things to be dealing with.
We'll get our permit after this time.
We're doing some work to get it ready for Airbnb.
We are. Yep.
We got a family coming in, staying for 4 nights. Use our home, which is fun.
Yeah, and obviously they pay for it, but it's also so much of a better deal than going to get a hotel or somewhere else. So it is a good deal for them. And I just feel like it teaches us to hold our things lightly. Again, like we prayed for this home and we have it, and now we're going to use it and let other people stay in it, even if we don't know them. And our kids were like, what? Someone's going to stay in my room? But it's like, well, we've been blessed with this stuff. It's all a gift. So let's use it for other people. And it's good for them.
We've gotten asked a couple times, what are you going to do with all your valuables? And then we laugh and we're like, oh, we don't have any valuables.
Yeah, we really don't have that many things that are worth anything. Half our stuff is from a garage sale. So,
So honestly, it's pretty easy to get ready, but it'll be interesting. It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's fun to think about giving a family a place to celebrate a holiday.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting. Hey, and then just so because I care more about you in all areas rather than just thriving in life, I care about your entertainment consumption. I want to introduce you to a device that I found. It's called the Roku Streaming Stick. If you haven't looked it up on Amazon, check it out. It just plugs into your TV and you can stream all your Netflix and Amazon Prime videos.
Oh, which
is a game changer.
It really has been nice. I'm liking that.
I know. We won't get into this, but we actually have a TV in our bedroom, which some of you listening probably frown upon, but we don't care, really.
No, because forever that's how I fell asleep. I have to turn on Friends, and it's like a lullaby to me. Their voices, they soothe
me
to
sleep. Ross and Rachel.
That's right, in minutes.
On a break.
They were on a break. So, yeah. So we do that each night. It's how I unwind and fall asleep, and I'm okay with that.
But the Roku Streaming Stick. $48. All the movies and Friends episodes you can handle, I guess.
Yes. So good.
Okay, this is a special episode of the Art of Thriving podcast. In light of current events, I hesitated to go here, but the election happened. It happened. And, we won't go into...
you follow us on Facebook, you know clearly where we stand.
If you follow my wife on Facebook.
I know.
We got involved emotionally.
Yep.
Why was that?
Well,
what happened?
I know, because we've never been political in any way.
I've been mildly political, but I was raised by a bunch of activists. My mom and dad were hippies and activists.
Yeah.
But I've never been so emotionally involved with the issues.
Yeah, I think... I just my strengths finders. Belief is one of those things, really strong. And my Enneagram is a 1, so I'm a reformer, which all these things
you want to make played. Everything right.
Yeah, there's like right and wrong, high justice. Yeah, I want to see things done right. I don't like seeing people rolled over injustice. Like, it really strikes at my core.
Yeah.
And so, election has really brought it out, because I just feel like, there's so many things that were said by one of our candidates that were just so, to me, so disturbing at like my core level, and to what I believe, my faith, and who I think Jesus is, and
what he's about.
What he is about, that I couldn't be silent. Like, there was just no part of me that felt like that was acceptable.
Yeah, I think everything about the whole campaign and the election, both sides, I think we were a little shocked, a little rattled in the results. And, we didn't actually vote for either of the major
candidates. No, we didn't. We're so, not, like, on either end. We're in the messy middle,
as we like to call it. We're in the messy middle, for sure. but I think for me, it just opened up. It revealed what was already there in humanity, in the Christian church, in related to race issues, mm-hmm. which are near and dear. I think we talked about this in a previous podcast, but we've just been learning a lot about that, especially since we have our son, who is a biracial child. So it was challenging. It was really hard, actually. I think I was mm-hmm. surprised at how emotionally frustrated and engaged and sad I was. Yeah. So it was really weird to go through kind of a lament a little bit, which I think is actually really healthy, lament. And then finding myself in a place where I actually need to probably repent from things of judgment or mm-hmm. whatever, but then finding hope along the way too. And for us, from a Christian faith background, my hope is in the person of Jesus, for sure, in his work to make all things new and bring hope and healing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and he does that, and we do have hope. But I think one of the hardest parts about this has been all the comments, oh, get over it, you're sore losers, this side. But even just downplaying or totally wanting to ignore or shut down other people who are legitimately fearful or sad,
yep.
Can't just move on. I mean, I just think that's so.
So like so the hard. Phrase, if you'll hear from like Christians, is God is sovereign, his work, or he's on the throne, is another kind of really Christianese yep. term, which maybe is true biblically for sure. But man, if you just kind of a drive by, actually, my friend Matt McLeod said, if you use that in kind of a drive by tone with mm-hmm. people where you just throw it out there and say, move on, just totally negates someone's emotions, very real emotions that they're feeling. And
yep, and scripture is full of emotion and like being real with those things and saying, weep with those who weep and mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. So if you just want to skip over one of those, then
yep.
something's wrong. We're missing something.
Yep, totally. I think for me, the other really kind of influential aha for me was that there are a lot of people who voted for Trump that are great people, but have a lot of pain in their life too, that are hurting and feel left behind by the government mm-hmm. too. So I don't think I acknowledged that enough. But at the same time, I don't think, my personal opinion is, I don't think Trump was the right man to help solve those problems. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm paying close attention, especially related to race. I think race relations and our deep kind of ingrained biases in our nation like mm-hmm. came out and are continuing to come out, mm-hmm. even in the church too. So,
oh, especially in the church. Yeah. It's everywhere. And
I was really, I mean, I don't know if I was surprised, but when I looked at exit polls, at the breakdown of ethnicity of who voted for who, that was eye-opening for me in a way that was very clear that white quote-unquote evangelicals voted for Trump, like 80% or something. That is debatable on what evangelical means and all that. But either way, still very, very slanted that way. But on the flip side, there's all these communities of color from the Christian world, the evangelical world, who did not vote for Trump. So, we're caught in the middle for sure, mm-hmm. trying to figure that out. I think there's three, I read something the other day, I think there's three kind of main narratives that came out, and there's at least three. The first one that really concerns me is the tone of Donald Trump's campaign, President-elect Donald Trump's campaign, that whether or not, whatever his beliefs are, his biases are related to ethnicity, it has been perceived, his campaign is perceived as accommodating this like white nationalist push where people can now express their biases in a way that haven't been able to. So that makes me nervous, mm-hmm. I think, especially for my friends that are people of color. Second narrative, which is like what I said, I think people were just fed up, honestly, with the government. I think both sides were, like, if you look at the numbers, Hillary Clinton did not have the support that Barack Obama had, from the Democratic Party. I think people are disillusioned with the government. And then obviously a vote for Donald Trump was a vote for change pretty substantially. They just wanted to reject the status quo. And then the third one that I think I'm still wrestling with is Donald Trump's appeal to, like I said, quote unquote, evangelicals, especially white evangelicals. And then relate that to how his promise to appoint a Supreme Court justice who's pro-life. So that whole story as well is very interesting to me. And it's this idea of the pro-life ethic, mm-hmm. that pro-life is it just anti-abortion, or is it more than that, I think, is a question that the church has to wrestle with.
Yeah, because pro-life is more than just that. It needs to be across the board life and thriving in life, no matter who, when, what, but that's not,
Right, and I just think that that's been challenging for me. I mean, I think back to when I was in high school, grew up in a very conservative home, very pro-life, cared about that politically, but didn't think about the death penalty or how the laws are biased to punish communities of color. But, you know, drug laws and stuff are biased towards certain drugs that are more popular in communities of color, that sort mm-hmm. of stuff. Just didn't think about that mm-hmm. type of stuff. So really wrestling, I think personally, mm-hmm. I think I'm wrestling with, like, what does it mean to live out this, like, pro-life ethic that I think comes from Scripture, from the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
To speak dignity about people, to view people as what we would call image bearers. Mm-hmm. A reflection of, anyway, we don't have to get into that too much, but that's a little bit what I'm thinking about. So the question is, what do we do now?
Yep.
It's a new day.
It is.
We're making America great again.
Oh my gosh. I hate that term. Don't ever say that again in my house. I really hate that
term. Okay, let's talk about that. Why do you hate that term?
Because to me, it just means let's make America great for the white person again. Like, it strikes up so much anger in me.
All I can think about is like post-World War II when like the GI Bill, when white America began to really flourish and...
Does that mean, like, let's make America great for the Native American people again? Like, really? Is that what he's talking about? Because I'm fairly certain it's not.
Whoa. She's getting passionate, people.
So if that's what it means, then, but I don't think that it is. That's just not what I've seen in the rhetoric that came behind that.
Yeah.
So. Totally.
It's challenging. So, it really addresses, like, what does that even mean? Is it for you? Is it for your specific community, or is it for all people? Because people have different stories and different backgrounds and experiences.
Yep.
All right, so what do we do? What do we do now? What are you thinking about?
I have just been constantly praying that I am seeking to see both sides, and I have lived in both sides. I grew up in rural America, and I see things from both sides. And now I live in the city where, I mean, honestly, it was like, that's where you never wanted to live because that's where the liberals and the you know, like the others lived. But I live in this other now of what I, you know, so opposite of what I grew up in. And I can see the good in both sides. And so now we're in this messy middle. And I feel like, okay, how do I still love people who disagree with me now and who just don't understand it? And I
don't understand your experience too.
Right. Absolutely. Don't understand my experience. And yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out, okay, Lord, how do I be gracious and loving and yet still step out and speak when I feel like you're saying to, and when it goes against what your heart is for people.
Yep.
And especially those who are being minimized, overlooked, the poor, the immigrant, the refugee, people of color, LGBTQ communities, mm-hmm. like all those things. Like what does that mean for me, and how do I stand up? Because God cares about all people. And how do I do that well and still stand up? And I had someone that I love say, well, I don't want people to see you as, what was the term?
I don't know. Crazy?
It was crazy, but what is the word I'm looking for?
Radical?
Radical.
Is that a word?
Yes. I don't want people to see you as radical. And I just thought, you know, people thought Jesus was radical because he loved those people and hung out with those people and spoke, you know, up for those people. And it was controversial. Yeah. And I just think, you know what? Jesus was that person. And I'm sorry it makes some people uncomfortable, but I just think that that's the heart of God. But I do want to go about it in the right way. And I do get fired up. And so I have to keep myself
in check. You have to breathe.
I have to step away from Facebook. Maybe not. Is what happens. Is I have to walk away.
If we've learned anything, it's take a break from social media. And don't... my motto is don't write anything on social media that I wouldn't say in person to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yep. And I love a lot of people who voted for Trump. And I love a lot of people who voted for Hillary. Trump. And I didn't vote for either one. It's not that. But I'm going to stand up for things I really believe in and for people who don't have the voice that we have.
Can we pause just for a second? You use the term other. Mm-hmm. I think that phrase or the process of othering has become an interesting thing. And I explain what that means. How do I explain what that means? It's like distancing yourself from certain segments of society and saying those people are other. A lot of times you'll hear people say, well, this law isn't good for the blacks. And by using the word the, you're saying they're essentially different from me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're not saying it derogatory, or maybe you are. Maybe you're saying, man, I'm actually more human than them or something. You're like separating yourself from them. And it's the process of othering, which is a really weird thing to do, but I'm seeing it a lot.
Yep.
And it just devalues the dignity of man and the fact that their story is very nuanced and complex and that they're human. And anyway, it's just something I've been thinking about too. So I don't want to do that is what I'm saying.
And we're learning all the time and messing up and learning. And
But
I think that's one of the things. What do we do now? We need to continue learning and we need to continue listening to people who are different than we are and see things differently. And if your only sphere of influence is people who look and act just like you, then maybe find a new friend. Like, go to someone new and listen to their story and their experience and be really uncomfortable. Because it is really uncomfortable, but I think we need to do it. And until you humanize someone who is different than you and actually hear their story, I don't think that you're ever going to have a change of perspective, even if you don't agree with it.
Yep.
Just the ability to see.
And I think that goes for both sides. You know, humanize people of color who have very valid fears, or immigrant families who have valid fears, but also humanize the lower income white families who are struggling and feel left behind and struggling to get healthcare and got laid off from their jobs or whatever it might be. Humanize that story as well. Mm-hmm. We're people, we're complex. But at the end of the day, we're people, and we want to be people who love one another, move toward people and not other people.
Yeah. I want to be a safe place where people would feel safe and that they would experience Jesus in my words and my actions.
Yeah.
Not just by sharing a Bible verse with someone totally out of context. Like, I want to back it up with the way I live.
Yep. So have some humility, people. We're trying to most of the time. We don't have it all figured out. We're trying to stop speaking in brash generalizations, but it's difficult. It's a weird time we live in. So if you have thoughts, let us know. Only good thoughts, though. We've had enough of the bad feedback this week. I'm just kidding.
That's okay.
We can take it. So at the end of the day, the question is, will we love people? Will we move toward people? Or are we going to, even people that have different views than us, or are we going to retreat and lump people into categories of based on how they voted or their worldview? And really, half the U.S.'s population probably voted differently than you. So that's a weird thing to think about.
Yep.
Whew. So much stuff here. So much stuff thinking about, processing. We're a work in progress. Absolutely.
But here's the thing. One last thought. The reason,
careful.
We'll edit this part out. Matt edits. I'll know later. I will say, I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't want to talk about politics, or I don't have to talk about that with you. And I learned in the last couple years of my life, learning about these issues, that you really can only say that because you have the privilege to say that. That too is white privilege. For me to say, you know what, I don't have to engage in that conversation. Because I don't have to care about it.
Because if either of those two get elected, it's probably not going to, their policies are probably not going to influence you.
Right.
What you're saying.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't really affect me a whole lot.
Right. Right.
Like, there's not a lot of consequence.
You're not going to get deported or.
Right.
Totally.
But those who, there actually could be some very serious consequences. They need to talk about these things, and they need other people to talk about it for them to stand up, because they don't have the same voice or privilege that I do. And that is just a fact. So.
Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to our processing. Verbally processing with you all in public. Thanks for joining us. Be gracious with us. We'd love to hear from you. Honestly, we'd love to hear from you and hear what you think and what you're thinking about. You can check us out on theartofthriving.net or find us on Facebook. Next time, we'll talk holidays, right?
Yeah.
Mistletoe. Hello, mistletoe. That's all I do. I just put up mistletoe all around the house. It's really weird.
That's not true.
Come join us. We'll talk about how we make the holidays more intentional and some stuff we've learned over the last 5-6 years.
Yep.
In the meantime, enjoy Thanksgiving. You know, when we celebrate Americans feeding undocumented immigrants? Think about it, people. All right, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.